Why does God plead with dead sinners if they are incapable of responding? Example, Romans 10:21, Paul quoting Isaiah. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Sorry, the verb, it was linked. People, here I am, here I am.
I believe it's because God knows the power of his word. And he says his word is the word of salvation. So, you know, God... Well, I believe the Bible says all are dead in trespasses and sins, yet the Bible says we are to go with the gospel, we're to proclaim the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So it's like, here's a dead person, they need resuscitation, you need to give them resuscitation. I believe the gospel gives people resuscitation, and so we have to proclaim it.
Even more with that particular passage, it goes on from there, doesn't it? It says, I've been holding out my hand to Israel, and they're an obstinate people, so they're judged for that. But he then says, I will be found by those who did not seek me.
Yep.
Speaking of the Gentiles, so that he will go and have mercy upon him.
Yep.
So it doesn't, like, there is that fact that
he's
the one that's doing it, isn't it?
God has to do it. We cannot do it. But he has to do it, but he does it through means. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing we always have to remember when we're dealing with issues of sovereignty of God. God uses secondary causes, and he commands us to use the secondary causes that he's given them. Nobody will be saved if we don't pray for them.
Yep.
God ordains prayer as a means to somebody's salvation. He ordains the gospel being shared with somebody as a means to their salvation. So we have to be obedient. We can't always figure it out because we're not God and our minds aren't as big as God's. But we still have to do what he tells us to do.
The next question is, why did a totally depraved Pilate generously give, and why does Paul use the general principle in verse 7, if people without Christ are totally sinful?
I call that the natural goodness that's still in people in terms of the fact that we've been made in the image of God. Because we were made in the image of God, we still have feelings. We still have love. That's just part of who we are, having been made in the image of God. As I said, we still have sin written across all of that that has impact upon us. So we don't love God the way we ought to love him. We don't do right the way we ought to do right. The fact is we still, even unbelievers, Paul says, can do some good things. But not morally good in terms of crediting their salvation, but from an outward standpoint. Only God knows the heart, but I suppose if somebody knew the heart, even with benevolent people, you wonder, what is the motive behind there? Is it a tax break? Is it selfishness? People to like me? God does everything totally unselfishly. And so again, the very fact that we're made in the image of God, we still have capabilities that are common to all people, having been made in his image.
A lot of people think totally depraved means that they're as bad as they can be, but that's not what it means. It means that every aspect of us...
The totality of our person has been impacted by sin. But not everybody is in what you might say a skid row.
Absolutely depraved.
Yeah, right.
The last one is... Speak to those who love the Lord and hunger for peace and joy and satisfaction, but struggle to find it.
Keep on keeping on. Keep on struggling. The verse you just... If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Keep on keeping on. The struggle itself is not always bad. The struggle may be the very thing we need to get us where God wants us to be. And so he lets us go through the struggle. He lets us go through the hurt. And sometimes God may seem far away, but when he seems far away, that's a time to work all the harder in terms of seeking after him with all you can.